grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi minashaitan rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Viewers of Madri Channel, welcome to Arise and Shine. Whenever you watch Arise and Shine, we try to give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak first. It is stated that after the death of Sayyidina Sheikh Ahmad bin Masur, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, someone dreamt him, and in the dream they saw him wearing a heavenly robe and a pearl crown on his head, standing in the mihrab of a masjid in Shiraz. The dreamer asked him, "How did Allah Azza wa Jal treat you?" And he replied that Allah Azza wa Jal has forgiven me, Allahu Akbar, conferred respect upon me, honored me with this pearl crown, and made me enter paradise. He further asked, "What is the reward for? Why did you get such a reward?" Sheikh Ahmad bin Masur, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, answered, "I used to invoke Salatu Salam upon the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam abundantly, and this is the deed which benefited me." Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Although that was a dream, viewers of Madri Channel, but there are many blessings from reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And what we're trying to do by giving you these blessings, and you see in many, many programs of on Madri Channel, we start with giving you a blessing, and the idea is, the intention is that the viewers become interested in it, they become habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak, so that all the Muslims around the world can benefit from the blessings of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam. Viewers of Madri Channel, as you know, when you're watching Rise and Shine, straight after we give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak, we listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Let's now listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rahm wala.
Wa idh qulna lil malaikati isjudu li adama fasajadu illa iblis aba wastakbara wa kana min al kafirin.
Aur yaad karo jab humne farishton ko hukm diya ke adam ko sajda karo to sabne sajda kiya siway iblis ke, munkir hua aur ghurur kiya aur kafir ho gaya.
وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةَ وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ.
اور ہم نے فرمایا, اے آدم, تو اور تیری بیوی اس جنت پہ رہو اور کھاؤ اس میں سے بے روک ٹوک جہاں تمہارا جی چاہے, مگر اس پیڑ کے پاس نہ جانا کہ حد سے بڑھنے والوں میں ہو جاؤ گے.
فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِيهِ وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌّ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ.
تو شیطان نے جنت سے انہیں لغزش دی اور جہاں رہتے تھے وہاں سے انہیں الگ کر دیا, اور ہم نے فرمایا, نیچے اترو, آپس میں ایک تمہارا دوسرے کا دشمن, اور تمہیں ایک وقت تک زمین میں ٹھہرنا اور برتنا ہے. پھر سیکھ لیے آدم نے اپنے رب سے کچھ کلمے تو اللہ نے اس کی توبہ قبول کی. بے شک وہی ہے بہت توبہ قبول کرنے والا مہربان.
قلنا اهبطوا منها جميعا فإن فمن تبع هدايا فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون.
ہم نے فرمایا تم سب جنت سے اتر جاؤ، پھر اگر تمہارے پاس میری طرف سے کوئی ہدایت آئے تو جو میری ہدایت کا پیرو ہوا اسے نہ کوئی اندیشہ نہ کچھ غم.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ. صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of Madhi Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. Would you to have the blessing of listening to some verses of the Holy Quran? And I pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla, every household has the ability or is fortunate enough that every member of that household not only listens to the Quran but reads the Quran on a daily basis. Viewers of Madhi Channel, what are we talking about today? It is stated in Sahih Bukhari that a perfect Muslim is one from whose tongue and hands other Muslims are secured. So that is the definition of what a Muslim is, that his hands and his tongue, these are the things that cause the destruction, these are the things that cause all the problems, that another Muslim is secure from that. And unfortunately today's people aren't secure from that. And one aspect of that is where people are not secure is where people are unjust, people are cruel to others as well. And so today we're going to talk about the consequences of cruelty, what cruelty is, how it's defined, some examples of cruelty, and how we should refrain from cruelty as well. And a lot of things people don't even realize that this is termed as cruelty in the Sharia perspective. And inshallah azza wa jalla, I hope that we're going to learn that today, inshallah azza wa jalla. But viewers of Madhi Channel, as you know, when you watch Rise and Shine straight after the talawat of the Holy Quran, then inshallah azza wa jalla, we have the kalam. But stay tuned with us, inshallah azza wa jalla, after the naat, we'll be right back. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
چل چلتے ہیں روک لے آپ کی
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and today we're talking about consequences of cruelty. What is cruelty? And we're going to give you some examples of cruelty and what consequences they befell. It is stated that Sheikh Abdullah Shafi Rahmatullah Ta'ala states in his travels that once I was going towards a village from Basra, and in the afternoon, all of a sudden, a horrible dacoit attacked us. The dacoit martyred my companions, and after snatching my money and belongings, he tied my hands with a rope, laid me on the ground, and then left us and escaped. Somehow, I managed to unfasten my hands and resumed the journey. But I forgot my way until the sunset took place. I moved forward in a direction where I saw a fire burning. After walking some distance, I came across a tent. I was rather exhausted due to the intense thirst. Therefore, I stood at the entrance of the tent and I called out that I'm thirsty, I am thirsty. Unfortunately, the tent belonged to the same horrible dacoit. And instead of bringing the water, listening to my call, the dacoit came out with a sword and intended to finish me off in the very first attack. The dacoit's wife obstructed his way, but he did not give up. He dragged me far away into the jungle, sat upon my chest, placed his sword on my neck and was about to slaughter me, when suddenly a lion appeared from the bushes. Seeing the lion, the dacoit fell far away out of fear, and the lion mauled him so badly and then disappeared into the bushes. I thanked Allah Azawajal for this divine intervention. Viewers of the channel, from this we realize just a catastrophic consequence of cruelty. And it's stated that Sayyidina Sheikh Muhammad bin Ismail Bukhari Rahmatullah has reported in Sahih Bukhari that Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari Rahmatullah narrated that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, verily, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, verily Allah Azza wa Jal gives respite to the cruel until when he grabs him. Then he does not release him. And after this, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited the verse 102 of Surah Hud, and I'll give you the translation. And such is the seizing of your Lord. When he seizes the towns upon the injustice, indeed his seizing is painful and severe. Views of the channel, that was just one example of someone that was cruel to a person. But nowadays we see it, and you know, some people might say, well, okay, he did that because he wanted wealth, he wanted money. But unfortunately in society nowadays, we've got to such an extent that we're cruel without any reason, without any what would appear to be physical benefit, financial benefit, whatever, no benefit whatsoever. Just yesterday, viewers on the channel, I was sent a news clip, and the news clip showed this woman, I think she was in her late 80s, she's walking on the road, peacefully, minding her own business, not talking to anybody, and because she's quite old, obviously her back is slightly bent and she's slightly lowered over, and she's just walking down the street. And this young lad, he's walking past him, and he's got the swagger, and he's walking something like this. And as soon as he comes past the old woman, he just lashes out and punches her. And she falls to the ground and she hits a fire hydrant. Yeah? She hits this big, massive piece of metal. And ultimately, she was injured, and she didn't move for seconds on the news clip. And you're thinking, why? Why? Why did that person do that? And we see it so many times now that without any reason, without any justification, we see it. I remember seeing a clip where a sister was walking down the stairs on a train station, and someone from behind her just kicked her without any reason. No provocation, no whatsoever. And so nowadays we are seeing these attacks taking place without any provocation. It's not as if I've said something wrong to you, you've said something wrong to me, and I've looked at you in the wrong way, you've looked at me in the wrong way, we've had a little bit of an argument, we've had a dispute, and as a result of the argument, we get into an altercation, we get into a fight, and you hurt me unjustly. Nowadays, we've gone so low that without any reason, we're just walking past someone, hit them. Walking past someone, push them. Walking past someone, kick them. And this is how low we have gone. That we don't care. You know, and then we've gone even further than that. We've gone even further than that. You know, there's one thing, viewers of my channel, committing a sin. There's one thing, exposing the sin, which again is a sin. But we're even worse than that now. We're proud of that sin. We're proud of it to such an extent that we'll say, okay, you know what? Can you just make a video of this? Can you just make a video of this and I'll put it on social media? And they'll go up and punch someone indiscriminately. They'll push someone indiscriminately. They'll push someone into the water indiscriminately. I remember again seeing a video a while back where here in the UK there was heavy rains. There was heavy rains and at the side of the road, the water had built up. The water had built up the side, but there was a footpath there. And someone was driving in the opposite direction and they saw that a policeman was walking and he was about to come close to where that puddle was. So they stopped the car, one of them got out and he said, make a video of this. Look what I'm gonna do. And this is actually on the recording. The car turns around and they go past that puddle and all the water goes onto this policeman and they're laughing. So this policeman now, he's drenched, his clothes are all wet and he's cold, he's shivering, yeah? And what have you achieved? You think you're so clever? You know, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Are we just trying to show our strength? Are we trying to show our power? And unfortunately, we do things nowadays without any justification. And isn't that sad how society has fallen? And if you remember right at the beginning of the program, I said to you, what is the definition of a Muslim? A definition of a Muslim is he who another Muslim is safe from that person's hands and his tongue. And nowadays we lash out physically, we lash out verbally, we hurt each other without even any justification at all. And so these hands and this tongue is the source of our cruelty. We utilize these to be cruel on people. We lash out with our hands and we say things with our tongue that can be hurtful, that can be unforgiving, that people get very upset with. And you are being unjust with that person. Jurdani Rahmatullah stated, he defined the meaning of cruelty in his book. To make misuse of something. To misuse something is cruelty. This tongue wasn't created to abuse people. This tongue was created to the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. These hands were not created to hurt people. These hands were created so that you can work and strive in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They were not created to hurt people without any use. And unfortunately, hasn't that what we've become nowadays? And in Sharia, viewers of the channel, cruelty, if you look at the definition of cruelty, is stated in the book Mirat, that cruelty means to do injustice with someone's rights or to misuse something or to penalize one who has not committed the offense. Allahu Akbar. And so nowadays, like I say, we misuse this. No offense has been committed. We're trying to punish someone. We've punished someone and yet they've done nothing. This is cruelty. We misuse what they have got. That again is cruelty. Using this tongue to abuse someone is cruelty. And unfortunately, again, like I keep on saying, society has got to that state where we are unjust with people. But I think there are many, many examples of viewers on the channel. We don't even realize that we are being unjust. And in the example that we mentioned at the beginning was an example where someone actually killed someone. Someone killed people and tried to kill another person as well. And unfortunately, nowadays, around the world, unfortunately, we're in a situation now where people are killing people indiscriminately. People are killing people for the sake of a mobile phone. People are killing people for a few pounds, a few dollars, a few rupees, and people are being killed for it. People are being killed for it because they want to drive their car around, so they'll hijack their car and kill the person. People are killing people where they go into a shop and they want some money out of the till, and they'll take the money out of the till and kill that person. People are killing people for small reasons, and they don't feel anything. And the reason they don't fear anything is because they have no fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla inside them. They don't think that they're ever going to get caught. They think that the only people that can catch them, the only people that can catch them are the authorities. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, the authorities, you may be able to run for them all of your lives. You may never get caught, but on the day of judgment, you will be caught. On the day of judgment, when you're in that dark and lonely grave, before you go to the day of judgment, you will be caught and you will be punished. Fear for that day. But unfortunately, viewers of the channel, we don't have any fear. We don't have any fear. And today we see it around the world, everywhere, that people are hurting people, people are killing people unjustly, and they don't fear for it at all. Sayyidina Tirmizi, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, in his famous collection of the books, hadith books in Tirmizi, he narrates that Sayyidina Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, has narrated that if all those in the skies and the earth would accomplice in killing a Muslim, Allah Azza wa Jalla will make them fall headlong into the hellfire. Those that are doing this, we're told that they'll be sent into the hellfire. But viewers of the channel, that's just one, isn't it? That's just one example of where, you know, someone has unjustly hurt someone And I mentioned the fact that sometimes you unjustly hurt people with your tongue, but there's other ways as well. People swindle money out of people unlawfully. They commit burglary. And those who demand money off people, yeah? Not even nowadays, when you talk about demanding money, you think, oh, it's at a big level where people have got these, they're sending messages to people where, you know, if you don't pay this amount of money, I'm going to kill you, or they kidnap the children. But even at a younger level, you as a money child, even in the school ground, in the school grad, bullying takes place. And that bullying, when that bullying takes place, that child forces other children, yeah, to give him his money, forces other children to give him his lunch. Do we as parents, again, I'm going to go slightly aside now, but again, it's very important. You know, when our children come home, if we've not sent our children with any lunch, yeah, to school, they've gone to school, we didn't give them any lunch, yeah. Do we ever ask them, son, what did you eat today? Where did you get the food from today? Where did the money come from? Did I give you the money? Where did you get the money? Do we ask any of these questions? Because maybe your son, your daughter, unfortunately, yes, it is our daughters as well. Our sons, our daughters, maybe they are being cruel to others at that young, tender age. At the young age, they're being cruel to people by taking the food off them, taking the money off them. And what happens is we do not know nothing. And there's a saying in English, nip it in the bud, yeah? That if a tree is growing in this direction, and you don't want it to grow in this direction, nip it in the bud. Cut it there. Cut it before it gets so strong that the shears that you have can't cut it. It's too late then. And they say, nip it in the bud. If at a young age, we look at our children and we see to them and say that, well, you know, are they doing any of this? And at that age, they are committing what would be bullying. You'd class it as bullying. But as a result of that, they are being cruel. At that age, we class it as bullying. As they get further down the line, what do you class it as? It could be classed as robbery, it could be classed as blackmailing, it could be classed as anything. But all of these are sins in the sight of Islam. And these are the things that we need to stop in them children at a young age. And so if at a young age our children, if we can give them the tarbiyat to be just with each other, to be kind with each other, not to be cruel for each other, to look out for each other, to care for each other, rather than thinking me, myself and my, as long as I'm all right, I don't care about anybody. And this is what happens, that these young children at that age, they only have the number one concern, which is themselves. They don't care about the fact that that person is going to go hungry today. They don't care about the fact that that person that is spending money for the week, that's the only money he has got for the week, and now you're taking it away from him. And he's too ashamed, too embarrassed to say anything to his parents when they ask him where his money's gone, or I dropped it, I lost it. He's too ashamed, he's too scared, in fact, to tell people that, oh, somebody at school has taken this money off me. And that's how bullies survive. The fact that the children are so scared to tell anybody, they're so scared to tell the teachers, they're so scared to tell the elders, that what happens is these bullies continue. Viewers of the channel, I know the topic is going aside, but to the youngsters that are here today, if you feel that you are being bullied at school in any way, then tell your elders, tell your head teacher, tell your parents first and foremost, tell your parents. If you have an elder sibling, an elder brother, an elder sister, tell them. Don't suffer. Don't let people be cruel to you. Don't let people be unjust to you. Don't let people punish you unjustly. You have done the wrong and people are doing this to you. And children suffer at that age. And when children suffer at that age, viewers of Money Channel, it affects them for the rest of their life. So not only is the person that is being cruel, not only that person that's being cruel, you are leading, you are sending the seeds there, you are planting the seeds there for him to be cruel for the rest of his life, but also that young child who has an injustice done to him, who's been bullying done to him, who people have robbed him of his lunch, robbed him of his money, all his life, he'll feel weak, he'll feel insecure, he'll feel worried all his life, and he'll grow up like that. So this person, you've not nipped it in the bud. And this person, you've not stopped it from happening to him. And as a result of not stopping it to happening to him, it's affecting him his whole life. And in both cases, viewers of Mother Channel, as parents, we are responsible. We are responsible to ensure that our children are not bullies, and we are responsible to ensure our children are not being bullied as well. And in both cases, if we do not, the repercussions may be seen for the rest of their lives. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Faqih Abu Lahis Samarkandi Rahmatullah has reported that verily there are shackles of fire on the bridge of Sirat, and the one who takes even a dirham, yes, even a dirham, through an unfair means, his feet will be tied. His feet will be tied with the shackles of fire. These shackles will cause difficulty for him to cross the bridge of Sirat until the owner of that dirham does not take compensation from it. And he will not take compensation from it. He will not say, oh, give me my one dirham back. He'll not say, give me my 2 dirhams back, give me my 100 rupees back, give me my $100 back. No, he'll take it from your good deeds. So until he takes it from good deeds, and if he runs out of good deeds, he will have to carry the burden of the sins of the owner also. And as a result, he will fall into the hellfire. So viewers of the channel, that if you are unjust to someone, if you swindled someone, you think you are clever, yeah? You think you're clever. You think you've done someone over. You think you've been very, very clever. You're sharp. You've got a good lawyer. You've got a good solicitor. You've got a good barrister that you've been able to do someone over. Okay, you've got away with it. Yes, you've got that bank balance. Yes, you've got that thing. Yes, you've done it. But on the day of judgment, that money won't be taken off you. No, no. You'll have that money. That money won't be taken off you, but that money will be no benefit to you. What will be taken off from you in compensation for that injustice that you did will be your good deeds. And if you run out of good deeds, if you do not have any good deeds to compensate for that injustice that you did, then the sins of the person that you were unjust with, the sins of that person that you were unjust with, that you were cruel with, the sins of that person that you swindled, that you cheated on, the sins will be taken off him and you will carry them sins. You'll be left without any good deeds. And all you will be left with is a huge burden of sins. And just think to yourself, you as a mother child, I don't have to tell you. I don't have to tell you. If on the day of judgment, you have nothing to present except for sins, you tell me. Well, you don't have to tell me. You know. You know where your abode is going to be. Allahu Akbar. It is narrated that Sayyidina Muslim bin Hajjaj, Ramatullahi Ta'ala, reported in his famous hadith collection, Sayyid Muslim, the beloved and beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you know who is penniless? Who is penniless? Who has nothing? Allahu Akbar. The blessed companions replied, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, penniless is the one amongst us who does not have any dirhams, does not have any asses, does not have anything at all. He is the penniless person. The greatest and holiest Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, in my ummah, penniless is the one who will be having salah, who will be having fast, who will be having zakat, but on the day of judgment, but because he's abused and slandered someone, because he abused and slandered someone, because he swindled someone out of money, killed someone, beat someone, so from his good deeds, someone be given to one victim and some to the other. And if before the compensation of the rights that he had trampled, all his good deeds are depleted, the wrongdoings of the victims will be transferred into the account of that ruthless person, and that person will be thrown into the hellfire. That person who prays, that person who fasts, that person who gives the zakat, that person who goes and performs the hajj, if on the day of judgment all of them fast, all of them namaz, all of the zakat that you give, all of the hajj, everything that the ibadah that you did, all of them good deeds that you did, all of them may be taken away from you. Why? Because of your actions. And you see people that yes, they may pray 5 times a day, but they have this mentality that I only have to worship Allah Azza wa Jal for them 10-minute slots. Yeah? Fajr, Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, rest of the time I can do what I want. I can commit whatever sin I want, but I read my namaz 5 times a day, don't I? That's what I'm commanded to do. And so for the rest of the time, for the other 22 hours of the day or 21 hours a day or 23 hours a day, they commit all sorts of sins. They're unjust, they swindle people, they bribe people, they cheat people, and they think that's okay. On the day of judgment, that Fajr will be taken away from you. That Zuhur will be taken away from you. That Asr will be taken away from you. That Maghrib will be taken away from you. That Isha will be taken with you. Each one of those things will be taken away from you. All of them good deeds will be taken away from you. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the penniless person is he that on the day of judgment, when all of his good deeds are taken away from him, as a result of him being unjust with people, he will be the penniless person. And he will be the person that's thrown into the hellfire. Viewers of Mother Channel, I'm hoping now that we can go to the daily reminder. Let's go to the daily reminder. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir raheem. Many respected viewers of Madani channel, Islamic Buddhists, they were traveling in Madani Qafila. Now, what is Madani Qafila? Madani Qafila is a retreat where brothers, they go and stay in masjid, and they stay there for approximately like minimum 3 days or maybe more, and they learn their religion. And they also practice their religion, they invite people towards righteousness also. And there are certain learning sessions, alhamdulillah, they happen during Madani Qafila. So it was a Madani Qafila. One of the participants, he was old-aged person. And when the session started, learning session started, so what was being mentioned? It was being mentioned that what is the method of ghusl? How to take bath according to Islam, right? What is the prophetic way of taking bath? So three important fara'id, they were being mentioned. When Mughallig of Dawat Islami mentioned the three fara'id, all of a sudden, that old-aged person who was sitting there, participant, who was learning, he started crying. When it was asked the reason of crying, he mentioned that I am now maybe more than 50 or 60, whatever age he mentioned, but until today, I did not know what are the fara'id of ghusl. Allahu Akbar. That means I've lived all my life and I did not know even how to take bath properly. What is the prophetic way? What is the sunnah way of taking bath? What are the important bits in taking bath? Allahu Akbar. Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, definitely, this is something to reflect upon. This is something to notice. We have learned so much. We have, maybe there are brothers, mashallah, they have learned all their lives. They've taken education. They may have gone to school, college, universities. Many degrees we could have attained. But unfortunately, if it is asked that even what are the fara'is of ghusl, that definitely there are some Muslims that don't even know that. Now the question is, do I know? The question is, those that are watching, do they know? Even we are grown. We have lived lots of years of our lives. If we don't know even this much of the basics, then we need to reflect upon. And we need to, dear respected Islamic brothers, we need to shed some tears upon our fate and how negligent we have been throughout our lives that we don't even know how to purify ourselves. Now during this period, maybe those they don't know, they could have gone to masajid, they could have touched Quran all their life. They didn't know how to purify themselves. It is really something alarming. So today, inshallah, I would like to mention those three important points, those three important fara'id. If you miss one of them, your ghusl will not be valid. You will not be able to touch Quran. You will not be able to recite Quran. You will not be able to offer salah. You will not be able to enter in masjid. There are various other rulings when you are not pak. So what are those three important bits which you must make sure when you take bath if a ghusl is fard upon you? If it is compulsory for you to take ghusl, these are the three things you cannot miss. What are those three important bits? Number one, rinsing the mouth, right? Rinsing the mouth. That is the first one. Second, sniffing water inside the nose. Ablution of the whole apparent body. Washing your whole body. Apparent body. That is the third important bit. The respected viewers of Madani Channel, Hanafi way of taking bath. Very short and brief, I would go through with you, and you should remember these points. Right? Make the following intention in heart without uttering any word with tongue. So what intention you would make without saying from your tongue? I'm going to take bath for acquiring purity. This would be the intention. First, wash both hands up to wrists three times. Now, if there is impurity on any part of the body, remove it. Perform wudu as done for salah. Now, moisten the body with wet hands, especially in winter season. During this, soap may be applied. Now, pour water three times over right shoulder, three times on left shoulder, on head, and then three times on the whole body. Now, shift apart from the place of ghusl and wash feet, if not washed during wudu. Do not face Qibla during ghusl. During bath, rub all the body by hands. Take bath at such place where nobody could see you. Today, respected viewers of Madani Channel, this was a brief Hanafi method, which includes the precautions also, which includes faraid also, important bits also, and sunnahs also. So if you would like to know more about it, in detail you would like to learn, I would like to recommend you Laws of Salah. It's a beautiful book of Amir of Ahl Sunnah, which gives you all these details. That's all for today, inshallah. It's a very important reminder, not only learn yourself, but teach others also. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Views of Madhi Chandra, that was a very, very important reminder that our Muballik of Dawud Islami Rizwan Bhai gave about the ghusl and the faraiz of ghusl. And I have had personal experience that I've been to many, many places. And I remember I heard that waqia that he mentioned where there was a person, where there was a madri kafla taking place. And ever since I heard that, I take the opportunity that whenever I go to places, and we have study circles, we mention it. And many, many places I mentioned the fact that people do not know how to perform the ghusl, yeah? And in many, many places, when we are talking about this, when we mention it in a speech or something, the Imam Sahab, he will stop me. And he will say, Beta, explain to them how to perform the ghusl. And the thought comes to my mind, why? Yeah? And obviously the reason why is because people do not know. And when you explain to them the three faraiz of ghusl, as Rizwan Bhai mentioned there, and you're talking to them, you can see, you know, when people are listening to you and they're paying full attention, and it scares you. One, you are happy that shukra, people are listening and people are taking attention. But then you think to yourself that these people today, amongst these people that are here today, there's 200 people here, there's 300 people here, there's 500 people, whatever they are, that amongst these people, there are all these people that are paying attention because these people do not know how to perform the ghusl. How many people outside don't? How many people outside don't? And remember, I traveled on a madri kafla, I think some months ago, at the tail end of last year, and I went to a different country, and there was a husband, and he, when we explained it to him, he said that me and my wife, we're both in our 40s now. We have children now. Yeah, but we did not know what you just told us. We did not know the faraiz of ghusl. So this example that Rizwan Bhai gave was not just a one-off. It's not a one-off. It happens in so many places. And maybe again, viewers of Madhi Channel, maybe you're watching this and you're thinking, whilst you're watching that Rizwan Bhai, you think, well, yeah, okay, I know that. I know that. I know that. Yeah, maybe you do. But the problem is, viewers of Madhi Channel, sometimes we're living in a bubble. And in that bubble, what happens is we know and we think everybody knows, but we don't realize is everybody doesn't know. Everybody doesn't know these basic things. And as a result of this, that is why there is a need. There is a need of the times for an organization like Dawat Islami, for us to not only to rectify ourselves, and maybe, yes, I don't need rectifying about ghusl because I already know how to do that. But there are so many people out there that don't. There's so many people out there that do not know how to perform the ghusl, do not know how to perform the wuzu, do not know how to read the namaz, do not know how to read the Quran, do not know how to do these things. You may know how to do this. So viewers of Madhi Channel, I implore you, I request you to attach yourself to the mahal of Dawud Islami, not only so that you can rectify yourself. Because the other thing that happens is, viewers of Madhi Channel, we think we know how to perform the ghusl. We think we know how to perform the wuzu. We think we know how to read the Quran. We think we know how to read our namaz. But have you ever checked it? Have you ever checked the fact that you can do it properly? And by attaching yourself to the environment of Dawud Islami, in the same way that your car, that you look after, that you pride after, you service your car, you maintain your car, and you're proud of the fact that you've got a good service history of your car. Have you ever serviced your wuzu? Have you ever serviced your ghusl? Have you ever serviced your namaz? Have you ever serviced your talawat? Have you ever had it checked to make sure that it is perfect? And at the same time, viewers of Madhi Channel, by attaching yourself to the mahal, you can help those people out there that do not have this knowledge. And unfortunately, it is so widespread. You know, I'm going to completely digress from the topic, but unfortunately, I can tell viewers of Money Channel that this problem is so widespread that very, very few Muslims know the basics of the deen. And unfortunately, this is what's happening. And I even remember just one instance, I remember that there was a kafla of Dawud Islami who was traveling in a country, and they saw some people saw that the kafla, the people had the Imam Sharif on and the beard on. And obviously, when people see people with an Imam Sharif and a beard, they think they're pious people, and people ask them for help. And they saw one of the mubaliks of Dawud Islami and said that, you know, brother, we have someone's passed away. Can you please come and form the namazi janazah? We have no imam to perform the namazi janazah. So the mubalik said, no problem, I'll come. So he went into the room and, you know, they brought the body to the front in the coffin. And luckily the mubalik of Dawud Islami, before he made the intention for the Salatul Janazah, he had a look at the body. He had a look at the body, and when he saw the face of the body, he said, stop. We're not going to perform the Namazi Janazah. And obviously some of his family members came forward and said, what's going on here? What's going on here? And he said, have you performed the ghusl of the body? What do you mean, ghusl of the body? Obviously did not perform the ghusl of the body. And you know why he realized that they'd not performed the ghusl of the body is because in his coffin, he wasn't in a shroud. He was in a shirt and a tie and a suit and boots and everything. And that's how they were going to bury him. They did not realize that a Muslim has to be washed. The body has to be washed and the body has to be shrouded. So he stopped the funeral. He stopped the funeral and he said, give me 45 minutes, 1 hour. And they went, he called for material. He called for the towels, he called for the soap, he called, found out where the washroom was, and he himself performed the ghusl of the body. He himself shrouded the body, and then he did the namazi janazah. And then he went one step further because he was concerned. He then said, look, I will go with you to the funeral, to the graveyard and bury him. And this was not only one Muslim, it was a community of Muslims that did not realize this, viewers of Mother Channel. Now you may be shocked about this. I was shocked about this. But viewers of Mother Channel, this is a reality. This is a reality of what's going on out there. And as a result of this, again, I request all of the viewers of Mother Channel. Yeah. You know, if you have this knowledge, we're talking about cruelty today, aren't we? We're talking about cruelty today, that if you have this knowledge, then don't be cruel to your fellow Muslims and pass on this knowledge to them as well. Learn this knowledge and go out and travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal so that people can benefit from this knowledge. And we never have these instances that we're hearing where 40-year-olds do not know how to perform ghusl, 60-year-olds don't know how to perform ghusl. People are buried without being washed and they're buried in three-piece suits and their boots and the ties and everything. We don't have these instances. And that can only happen if we all of us, each and every one of us, plays our part in spreading the deen of Islam. And I request all of you that the best platform to join in spreading the deen of Islam is Dawat Islami. So please join. Attach yourself to the environment of Dawud Islami so that you can benefit us and other people can benefit and we don't hear about these unfortunate instances. Once again, viewers of Mother Channel, I please apologise, I please seek your apology that I have digressed from the topic, but the reminder just made me think so much and reminder made me feel so much that I think I needed to share my feelings with you. So I do apologise if I've digressed from the topic and we've not talked about it. Viewers of Mother Channel, what were we talking about? We're talking about the consequences of cruelty. And we're talking about the fact that, you know, that the penniless person is he that on the day of judgment, although he will have performed good deeds, although he will have fasted, he will have performed his salah, he will have given his zakah, he will have performed the hajj, on the day of judgment, all of them will be taken away from him. And he'll be left in the term penniless. He'll have nothing. Why will it be taken away from him? Why will his salah be taken away from him, even though he performed it perfectly? Why will his fasting be taken away from him, even though he did it with taqwa? Why will his zakat be taken away from him, even though he give it with the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal? How will his zakat, will his hajj be taken away from him? Viewers of the channel, it'll be taken away from him as a result of the cruelty that he did to his fellow Muslims, as a result of the injustice that he did to his fellow Muslims, as a result of that, each one of them good deeds will be taken away from him and given to the Muslims that he was unjust with. To the extent, viewers of Mother Channel, that if his good deeds are all finished and he still has that injustice with him, then the sins of the people that he were unjust with will be taken away from him and it will be passed on to him. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you people will have to restore the rights. You will have to restore the rights to the sufferers, even if the horned goat will be avenged for the hornless goat. It means that if you do not fulfill the rights of people in this world, if you do not fulfill the rights of the people in this world, then you will have to restore the rights of them on the day of judgment. In the world life with money and in the afterlife with good deeds. So in this dunya, if you have taken the rights of someone, then restore it. Restore it by seeking the apology. But if you've taken the rights of them as a result of some wealth or something else, then restore that as well. And if you do not, then in the afterlife, it will be your good deeds that will pay for that. Therefore, it is wise to respect the rights in the worldly life in order to escape the sufferings in the afterlife. Allahu Akbar. Just to give you an example of taqwa. Just to give you an example of taqwa, viewers of Majlis. What is taqwa? Taqwa is awareness that Allah Azza wa Jalla is there, the awareness that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching me, having that fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla inside you. Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullahi ta'ala, found an apple. He found an apple running in a stream inside an orchard. He picked it up and he consumed it. As soon as he ate it, he felt extreme regret for what he had done. Why had he eaten it without the permission of the earthworm? Therefore, he proceeded towards the orchard in search of the owner. A lady was the owner of the orchard. He apologized for the act. The lady said, "The king and I both are stakeholders in the orchard. I accept your apology regarding my right, but I do not have the authority to forgive you on behalf of the king." The king was in a different place in a city called Balkh. So Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullah set out for Balkh and ultimately succeeded in seeking consent from the king. How many of us, viewers of Muslim Channel, pick up things, eat them without thinking? I remember I was in one shop and the shop owner, he was very upset. And you know, sometimes it is our elders that do it and you feel it hard to confront them, you feel it hard to say something to them. That there was a person that he'd come into the shop and as soon as he'd come into the shop, he'd pick up some almonds and as he's doing his shopping, he'd pick up a handful of almonds and he'd be eating them as he's walking around the shop. And these almonds, he hadn't paid for them, he just picked them up and he's going around doing his shopping and he's eating the almonds and he's eating the almonds. And he's not done that without the permission of the owner. And one day the shop owner, he got angry. And one day when the shop owner got angry, when he picked up the almonds and he put them in his hand, he grabbed hold of his hand. And he took his hand, he dragged his hand to the till. He made him open his hand where the till was, where the weighing scales were. He weighed him and said, "Don't worry, I'll put them on the bill at the end. You can eat them, but don't worry, I'll put them on the bill in the end." And from that day onwards, that person stopped him. But how many of us do that, unfortunately, viewers of Muslim? How many people unjustly eat things without realizing? To the extent that, yeah, I've even heard that people, what they do is, viewers of Muslim Channel, they dress up in nice clothes, they get some nice clothes on, they find out where there's a wedding, yeah, and when they've got a wedding, they've got the nice clothes on, and they walk into the wedding hall as if they're a guest. Now, the bride soul looks at that person and thinks, "Oh, he's from the groom's side." The groom's side looks at that person and thinks he's from the bride's side, and that person sits there and eats a really nice meal and leaves. He's not been invited. He's not even a guest. And again, he has just turned up there and he's taking the benefits of that. And again, that is another form of injustice that we don't even realize that we are doing. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and we have the time has come for the daily hadith. Let's see what we're going to learn from the daily hadith today. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers, today's hadith inshallah azawajal is going to be something that can be a means of benefit for us in today's day and age. We all inspire to be people who are successful, people who are the best amongst everyone else. And the Prophet ﷺ has gave us the advice on how we can be the best, how we can be the most successful from amongst all the people. What did he say? The hadith is mentioned in Bukhari. The Prophet of Allah ﷺ said, "Inna min akhyarikum ahsanakum khuluqa," that the best amongst you are those who have best manner and character. So if we want to be the best amongst the people, we want to be the people who people look up to in the community, people are looking up to you, people are respecting you, people admire you, people follow you. So one of the ways that we can make this happen is having good character. And the Prophet ﷺ used his good character, and he was known to be a person of good character, and he used this to his advantage in calling people towards Islam, calling people towards Tawheed, towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should also try to implement good character in our life, try to become better Muslims, better people of the community, better citizens, and show a good side towards what Islam truly is through our character, through our actions, and through the way that we deal with people. May Allah Azzawajal give us the ability to act upon what has been said. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Again, another hadith, a reminder for us that we should have a good character. And it is the character of a Muslim that shines through. And you know, if you ask people throughout history, it's probably throughout history this, that if you look at history and you look at how people accepted Islam, the majority of them, if you were to ask them, what made you come into the fold of Islam? There'll be very few of them will say, well, you know what, I read the Quran and I was inspired by the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. Very few of you will say that I compared the Quran to other books. Very few of them will say, well, I compared the Quran to science and, you know, it held everything and it was truth, etc., etc. The majority of the cases, the people will say that it was the person in front of them. That person in front of them, he is the person that inspired them to come to Islam. So it's the character of a Muslim that shines through. And you know, I sometimes say to people that every one of us has this notice board on our heads, we can't see it. And the notice board basically says that I am a Muslim. So when people look at you, they don't see you as Khalid or Abdullah or Ali, Nusrat or anything. They don't see that. They see a Muslim. That's what they see. And so it's the character that shines through. So I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that all of us can learn to develop a good character and that character shines through so that people come into the fold of Islam as a result of our characters. And again today, viewers on the channel, we're talking about our character. We're talking about those things. And unfortunately nowadays, when we're talking about the consequences of cruelty, we're talking about those things that people do that where they swindle things, they cheat things. And unfortunately nowadays, viewers on the channel, instead of people looking at Muslims and saying that, you know, these are people that have upholding character, these are people of good character, people look at them and they look down to them. Oh, these people, you know what these people? Insurance fraud, credit card frauds, claim frauds, benefits frauds, drug dealers, robbers. This is what they're saying about us. Is this what we are known as now? Is this the title that's put on us now? How has that title happened? Again, it's our own wrongdoing. It is our own wrongdoing. There was a time where Muslims used to leave, people used to leave the wealth with them, with the Muslims, to safeguard it because they knew that they were honest people. But nowadays, people are scared of leaving the wealth with us. Our own Muslims are scared of leaving the wealth with us because they know we'll swindle out that money. You know, we'll give them the money and then afterwards we'll make some sort of excuse that we'll lose it. And before the break, we were talking about those people that turn up at weddings for argument's sake, and they turn up there and they eat the food and they've not been invited. There is a hadith, viewers on the channel, in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who attends the gathering without being invited, he has entered as a thief. He's entered as a thief and he's exited wreaking havoc. And nowadays, viewers on the channel, people swindle thousands or millions of pounds out of people, yeah? And they don't even think about it. You know, people take money off them. When they want some money off you, they're so nice in you and they'll say, oh, brother, I'm really, really struggling. Please help me, brother. I really need the money, brother. I've got this problem, brother. I've got that problem, brother. And they'll be very humble in front of you and they'll be very this in front of you. You'll feel sorry for them. You'll give them the money and then they'll get like this. Yeah, well, they won't answer your call. They won't open the door. They don't want to know you. And I even heard one person say, you know, he was in debt. And he was taking more debt. And I said to him, are you not scared? You know, of keep on taking this debt? You're constantly taking debt. Are you not worried of how you're going to pay this debt back? Has it ever occurred to you that you have to pay this debt back? He said, why should I worry? What do you mean, why should you worry? You're the one that's taken the debt. He said, why should I worry? He said, the person that should be worried is the person that's given me the money. I've got nothing to worry about. I've got the money now. He should be worried about when he's going to get it back. He should be worried about if he's going to get it back. Astaghfirullah. Is that what we've become? That when it comes to try and get money off them, we're very nice to them, we're kind to them and gentle to them, and after that we forget it. And it's not just about money. It's about all sorts of things that when we want favours from people, when we want someone to help us, yeah, we're all nice to them. But as soon as we've got that favour, we forget them. We want someone to help us, we're getting our visa, getting our passport, and we're all nice with them and helpful with them, and we'll invite them to our house for some tea, and we'll invite them to our house for something to eat, and please help, yeah, come here, mashallah, you're such a nice person, come to my house, meet my family, and we'll have a meal together, and da-da-da-da, and all these things will happen. And then what will happen is that once that person's got you've used him for what you wanted to use him, for your own personal gain, you've used that person. Once you've used that person, you discard him. I don't need him anymore. And people go through life that, doing that, where they use people and discard them. Use people and discard them. Allahu Akbar. And we forget the favours. And then you wonder, you know, we say here on Madani Channel that why is it that people forget the favours that the Lord, Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed upon them. They forget the favours that Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed upon them. They forget the favours that other people has bestowed upon them. They forget the favours of their parents. They forget the favours of their siblings. They forget the favours of their relatives. They forget the people of all the favours that the people that they met through their life. And they think, it's just because of me, how clever I am, how crafty I am, that I've got where I am. And that's why I'm where I am today. But every person, no matter how clever you are, no matter how crafty you are, a day will come where you will be caught. It is narrated, listen to this, viewers of Money Channel. Those, if you take a debt and you do not try to pay that debt back on time, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Ramatullahi Ta'ala, has narrated, the one who will not clear someone's debt of even three paisa, viewers of Money Channel, basically the currency of Pakistan at the moment is a rupee. Yeah? And 1 rupee is currently valued in the UK at half a pence, 200 rupees to the pound. So 1 rupee is half a penny. 100 rupee is made up of 100 paisa. Now maybe the time where Allah Hazrat was writing this, obviously the currency was different. But he's basically showing an insignificant amount of money. The one who does not clear someone's debt of even 3 paisa, Allahu Akbar, he will have to give 700 congregational salahs in compensation on the day of judgment. 700 jamaat, 700 namaz with jamaat. That will what you have to do to pay off that debt of 3 paisa that you took in this dunya. Today, you know, you're not paying off that debt. You think you're being clever. And then what even happens if you're a Muslim, we even go further. You know, when that person passes away, yeah, we have a wry smile. I've got away with it. I don't have to pay him now. I don't have to pay him that money. He's not here now, is he? He's passed away. No viewers on my channel. That money that you have, that you owed that individual, that has now passed away, it is the inheritance of his inheritors. And it is your duty now to pay that back. Don't think to yourself, what, I've got away with it, Allah. Yeah. I've got away with it now. I forgot about it. No. And you know, the way that we should be viewers of Money Channel is we should not have to be reminded that we owe debt. We should be in a situation that we are constantly, that if we owe people money, and it does happen, viewers of Money Channel, I'm not going to say that borrowing is a bad thing, but what happens is sometimes in our life, it happens that certain instances happen in our life where we need to borrow money off each other. But when that does happen, we should have this worry, this fikr, this mindset that, look, I need to pay this off. I need to pay this off, I need to get this done, and I need to pay this money off. And that's what we should do, viewers of Money Channel. But unfortunately, what happens is we forget about it. And we forget about it for years and years and per years. And the person that we owe the money to, they have to come on, knock on our door and say, you know, brother, you owe me £500. Actually, did I? When? I don't remember. And you're making him feel more embarrassed. You're feeling making him feel more ashamed. When did I take that money off you? I can't remember. Are you sure I took that money off you? Because if I took that money off you, I'm sure I would have paid it back. And now you're putting him even more embarrassment. Yeah? It is your duty to remember and make sure that you pay that person off. It is stated that Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Ghazali, Ramatullah, has narrated in Kimya Sadat that the one who takes a debt and intends that he will pay it back honestly, Allah Azza wa Jal appoints some angels for him, for his security. And they do dua for him, for his debt to be paid back. If the one who has taken a debt is capable to pay it, and he delays the payment without the creditor's consent, then delaying it even for a moment is a sin. And the borrower will be considered cruel, and he will be considered oppressive. Whether he is observing fast or sleeping, sins will continuously be recorded in his account, meaning his sins will be continuously increasing all the time. He will be continuously under the curse of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is such a sin that it remains with the person even when he is asleep. If he can pay off the debt by selling his belongings, he is bound to do so. Otherwise, he will be a sinner. If in the compensation of debt he gives something that the creditor does not like, even then he will be a sinner. And he will be accursed of the crime of this heinous act until the creditor forgives him. because this act is a major sin, but people just consider it a misdemeanor. So viewers of the channel, please wake up. Please wake up, but in many, many instances in our life, we are oppressive. We've got a small package now that we want to go to, inshallah. Let's go to the package and see what we can learn today. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Cruelty is a violation of the commands of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And it results in the violation of human rights, uququl ibad. Allama Jurjani, Quddisa sirruhun nurani, has defined the meaning of cruelty in his book, At-Ta'rifat, that to make a misuse of something. According to the Sharia, the Islamic sacred law, cruelty means to do injustice with somebody's rights, or to misuse something, or to penalize one person, any person who has not committed the offense. Those who are terrible people and commit wrongdoings, especially in this incident which was mentioned, the parable of which you have just read, you have just listened to, that person used to kill innocent people and commit theft and robbery. He received the punishment in this worldly life. And who knows what adab, what punishments he would be facing in his qabr, in his grave. Furthermore, accountability, hisab, on the day of judgment is yet to be carried out. Even today, it is common that thieves and robbers, etc., they do not hesitate in taking the lives of innocent people. Remember, killing innocent people is a horrible and terrible sin. Sayyidina Muhammad bin Isa Tirmidhi alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi, in his famous hadith collection called Tirmidhi, has narrated from Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri and Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, that if all those in the skies and those on the earth will accomplice in killing a Muslim, then Allah Azza wa Jal will make them fall headlong into the fire. Those who swindle money out of people unlawfully, those who commit burglaries, those who demand money by sending threatening letters, they should pay special attention. Today, the valuables that are grabbed through haram means look very attractive and easy to consume. But remember, on the day of judgment, it will cause huge troubles for this person. Listen, O people, Sayyidina Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi alayhi rahmatullahi qawi has reported in Qurratul Uyun. He says, verily, there are shackles of fire on the bridge of Sirat. The one who takes even a dirham through an unfair means, his feet will be tied with the shackles of fire. These shackles will cause difficulties for him to cross the bridge of Sirat until the owner of that dirham does not take compensation for it from this person's good deeds. And if he runs out of good deeds, he will have to carry the burden of the sins of the owner as well. And as a result, he will fall into the pits of Jahannam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. Allahu Akbar. And today we've been talking about the consequences of cruelty. And I think there's so many things that we do, we don't even realize that we're being unjust. We don't really realize that we're being cruel. But viewers of the channel, we need to reflect upon ourselves. Because what will happen is that, you know, we talk about performing good deeds. We tell you what good deeds that we need to do. We say to you that you need to pray five times a day, you need to fast during the month of Ramadan, you need to pay your zakat, you need to go on the hajj, you need to do all these things. And if we do all these things, but what would happen if on the day of judgment, as a result of us being unjust, as a result of us being cruel, that all of our good deeds are taken away from us. It is narrated that Sayyidina Ahmad bin Harb rahmatullahi ta'ala stated that many people will die being wealthy with plenty of good deeds. And here, you know, just to stop the, what is the definition of wealthy in this, in his mind? Wealthy with good deeds, so you've got a good abundance of deeds. But due to the violation of human rights, they will lose all of the deeds on the day of judgment, and hence will become poor and needy. And on that day, your wealth in this dunya is not going to be helpful. And so every good deed you will benefit from. Sayyidina Shaykh Abu Talib Muhammad bin Ali Makki rahmatullahi ta'ala stated that mostly people will be thrown into the hell due to the sins of others. Not due to their own sins, the sins of others, not due to their own sins, which will be transferred into their account. Yes, they'll be transferred into your account due to the violation of human rights. Similarly, a great number of people will enter paradise, not due to their own good deeds, Allahu Akbar, but upon receiving the good deeds of others. So that person that you are being unjust with, that you are being clever with, that on the day of judgment, your good deeds will be taken away and be transferred to him. He may not have many good deeds. He might not die with a whole wealth of good deeds, but he may enter paradise. Why? Because you've been unjust with him. You've been unjust with him. You've been unjust with him. And your injustice of all the good deeds that you did will be transferred to that person. And as a result of that, he will enter paradise. And although you may have performed many, many good deeds, you've performed many, many good deeds, then good deeds will be taken away from you. Not only will them good deeds be taken away from you, but the sins of that person will be taken away from you as well. Taken away from them and put on you as well. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullah, is narrated in Fatawa Razviya, volume 24, page 342, with reference of Tabarani, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Who caused annoyance to a Muslim where Sharia does not permit, has caused annoyance to me. And the one who has caused annoyance to me has caused annoyance to Allah Azza wa Jal." You hurt a Muslim. You've annoyed a Muslim. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you're annoying the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you annoy a Muslim, you're annoying him. And if you're annoying him, you're annoying Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal has stated in Surah Al-Azab, verse 57, part 22. And I give you the translation. Indeed, those who offend Allah and His Messenger, upon them is Allah's curse in the world and in the hereafter. And Allah has prepared a disgraceful punishment for them. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, if you've ever caused trouble to anyone, whether it's your elder brother, father, your spouse, your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, or even someone in an influential position, the imam, the muezzin, whoever it is, without hesitation, seek repentance from them. Seek repentance from them. If you caused harm to anybody, then seek repentance from them. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Regards this, Sayyidina Yazid bin Shajrah, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stated, "Hell has a border like lines the coastline of the sea, which is inhabited by snakes similar to quick-paced camels and scorpions similar to mules. When the sinners in hell will ask for a reduction in the pain, they will be ordered to escape from the borders. The moment they will tend to move, the snakes will catch them from their lips and their faces and will rip their skins. The sinners will run towards the fire to save themselves. Then they will be made to suffer from a disease that will cause intense itching. They will scratch their skins to such an extent that their flesh will scrape off and only the bones will remain. It will then be proclaimed, 'Oh, so and so, are you feeling the pain?' And he will reply affirmatively. Then it was said to him, 'This is the recompense of the pain that you used to cause to Muslims. This is a result of the pain that you used to cause to other Muslims.'" Again, do we even think about what pain we're causing to the Muslims? A Muslim, viewers of Madani Channel, a Muslim does not hurt a Muslim. His task is to prevent Muslims from being hurt by anything. Sayyidina Imam Muslim bin Hajjaj has reported in Sahih Muslim that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I saw a person roaming in paradise, that he goes anywhere he wills, because in this world, what did he do? He cut down a tree from a pathway that caused trouble to the people." Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You know, there's a, Another hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that on the day of judgment there will be no shade given except to three people, and one of those people is a person that removes a worry, removes a problem from a fellow ummati. If only we can not only stop abusing people, stop insulting people, stop hurting people, but also go one step further. We keep on saying it. Go one step further. Go the extra mile. Go the extra mile and remove the worries from our fellow ummati. Remove the problems from them. Move the problems that they're facing. Ease them and help them. Then inshallah azawajal, we will benefit not only in this dunya, but also in the akhirat as well. Viewers of Mother Channel, alhamdulillah, like every day, mashallah, we try to get a guest on the program with us, and alhamdulillah, it's normally, may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward them, it's normally our South Africa brothers that always come to our rescue. Alhamdulillah, may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward us. MashaAllah, we got Imran by all the way from South Africa again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, Khalid bhai and
MashaAllah, Imran Shabrati bhai, how are you? MashaAllah, from Durban in South Africa, how are you? Everything okay?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, ala kulli halu.
Acha, Imran bhai, today we are talking about the consequences of cruelty. And we've talked a little bit about some of the ayats of the Quran, some of the examples as well. And I think people don't even realize that they're being unjust. They think that to themselves that, you know, there's a saying in English, me, myself, and my, you know, as long as I'm okay, I'm all right, Jack. There's a saying, I'm all right, Jack, meaning that as long as I'm okay, it doesn't matter. As long as I'm okay, that I am comfortable, that I am looking after myself, that I am feeding myself, that I'm clothing myself, that I have everything that I need, it doesn't matter what is happening around me. And as a result of that, people have lost that were concerned with others. And now what is happening is we've gone to such an extent that we heard the reminder that people, you know, murder people, people kill people. But we've gone even lower than that, Imran bhai, that what is happening now is that we're proud of it. We'll take videos of it that, you know, watch this, was I punch this old lady. Watch this, where I push this person down. Watch this, was I drown this person. And they record it and then put it on social media. And this is how low we have become, Imran bhai. I want some of your words of wisdom with regards the consequences of cruelty. And hopefully, if you can give us some guidelines of how we can try and, you know, be aware of this and how we can refrain from this as well.
Firstly, thank you, Khalid bhai, for inviting me to join your show for the short moment. I just want to speak, perhaps maybe share one or two Madani polls on certain types of people that are very prone to cruelty, or we are prone to be cruel to. And that is, one type of such people is, what is our relationship with our employees? Very often you find that in a working scenario, there is a top-down relationship between the employer and the employee.
Yes.
You must remember that just as we should behave gracefully towards our relatives. In fact, it is almost wajib that we maintain sila rahmi, good relationship with our family relatives. Similarly, we should also fulfill the rights of other Muslims. And our employees who work for us, whether they are Muslims or not, form an integral part of whom we interact with. There should not be any kind of violation of their rights. And some people usually, you know, often you find this, they will humiliate and insult their employees over petty, petty issues. They will verbally abuse them, and often, unfortunately, it results in physical abuse. You know, such types of people are forewarned, must be warned. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam which states that whoever treats his employees badly will not enter Jannah. Allahu Akbar. What a warning to us. Whoever treats their employees badly will not enter Jannah. We must always, always show affection towards our employees. And you know, one Madani pool, and I always share this as a life tool and as a guidance to myself, to my family. I always say, treat others how you would want to be treated.
Allahu Akbar.
How would you, you know, it's a guidance I give to my bachuki. I mean, I say, let's treat our parents how we would want our parents, our children to treat us. So how, if I was an employee working for someone, that employee did something wrong, that employee came late to work, that employee is so stressed, that employee is so worried, maybe he had a very valid reason at home why he's arriving late at work, and he's coming to work with, you know, in English we say, with the heart in his mouth, because he has an ill opinion of this employer who's always grumpy and violating him and scolding him. Now imagine that scene, that beloved, that the heart of that employee, how pained he must be coming through the taklif, and he's coming to work, and he is at the mercy of that employer. Allahu Akbar. Can you visualize this? His heart in his mouth and he's looking for your mercy. He's looking for your shafqat. And what is your response? Your response is you violate him. You do not make salam at him. You do not greet him. You do not welcome him. You do not politely tell him you are late today. Perhaps there may be some reason. I hope whatever it is easy. It goes away. How nice it would be if you were gentle to him, if you were calm with him, if you were loving to him. Think of the day when we will stand before Allah Azza wa Jal. Think of the day when we will stand before Allah Azza wa Jal, where we have violated all the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal on this dunya. And that moment when we will have our hearts in our mouth and we will be seeking the mercy of Allah. How will we feel? So, oh viewers of Madani Channel, oh employers who are in that position of authority and might, one day we will be the one who will be seeking the shafqat and the mercy of a greater power. So remember that. How would you want to be treated? Treat your employees like that. Remember, Allah Azza wa Jal is most merciful. How must we treat our employees? We must show them affection. We must forgive their mistakes as much as possible. Allah grants mercy upon that person who is merciful to others. Furthermore, by fulfilling our employees' rights, we must behave gracefully towards them. We must not consider them to be disgraceful. We must abstain from rudeness, from harshness, from abusing them. We must give them their wages. This is another form of cruelty, Khalid, by Allah.
Yes.
Akbar.
Yes.
We do not give their wages at their appointed time.
You know, I've even heard people that they agree, for example, that we're going to pay 200 rand to the worker, and then when the time comes to pay the money, they try and pay less. Or I'll give you 150, or I'll give you 120, or I'll pay you the rest later, without the intention of paying them back. So unfortunately, this is again another form of cruelty, isn't it?
It is a very great zulm. I mean, imagine, again, put yourself in the shoe of that employee. That employee is bicharo, he's working for you because he has a need. He's budgeted that money. He has his expenses. He's put in his, whatever Allah had given him, the ability, he's put it in. Let's have that husne zan that he's committed. He's done his end of the deal. And he comes before you. And you're supposed to pay him, say, by the 24th. And he's promised his family. He's promised other people that he will pay them by the 26th in the hope that his employer will fulfill their right and pay him by the 24th. But the day comes and that employee is too scared to ask you. But Allah has put in you in that position of strength today, oh employer, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you that money that is not even your money, that Allah is an amanat that Allah has entrusted you to give the rosy. Allah has chosen you to be the means through which that employee will earn the rosy, through which that employee will earn the risk for the day. But you are withholding him and you're not being the first one to say that, oh my employee, give him the money before he asks you. Give him with a smile. Do not let him come to you and say, oh, employer, it is time for me to go. You had promised me you will pay me. And now, as Khalid Bhai mentioned, instead of paying him 200 pounds, you deduct money from him. Without making a shari'i contract with him, you do a katoti, you do a deduction, which he was not expecting, and you go and compromise him. How he must be feeling? How is he going to run his? You have money. How is he going to budget with lesser money? So we must not make deductions without any shari'i reason. You know, when an employee is sick, how often, you know, it's a question I'm going to ask ourselves. An employee did not come to work. How often does an employer phone that employee and ask him that, how is your health? Are you recovering? Is there anything I can do for you? Is there any medication I get for you? Or for that matter, the employee's family, you know, he's sick. You know, he's not well off. You know, he has to use the public health system. Do we do our part as the ones whom Allah has blessed with wealth and say, how can I help that employee? How can Allah we help that employer? So, you know, Allah, this is my naqis contribution to your show, oh Khalid Bhai, that yes, if sir, we can only focus on that relationship of the employer and the employee, if only we can do shafqat and narmi towards them, and if only we can avoid being cruel towards them, inshallah, azawajal, I have this hope that when we stand before Allah Rabbi Izzet, Zal Jalal wal Ikram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day, inshallah, with this hope, ki oh Allah Pak, when I was in the dunya, I showed shafqat towards those who were needy. Oh Allah, grant me your shafqat on this day, Ameen, of Qiyamah.
Jazakallah, Imran Bhai, we're just coming towards the end of the program. Jazakallah for you, Madani Pills, and Jazakallah for your time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Jazakallah. Viewers of the channel, that was Imran Shabrati Bhai from Durban in South Africa. And again, just another aspect, another angle of where we are unjust with people. We're unjust with our workers that we work for us. And the example like I gave at the beginning with a child that he is a bully at that age. Then when he grows up and he becomes a boss, he's a bully. When he becomes a manager, he's a bully. Whenever he becomes a father, he's a bully to his kids. And so all of these things that, you know, at a young age, if we say that they have the saying in English, nip it in the bud, then inshallah, azza wa jalla, we can move forward. But these are the things that we need to think about, that maybe we think that we are strong. Maybe we think that we are powerful. Maybe we think that we are getting away from it. But viewers of the channel, no matter how strong you are, no matter how powerful you are, no matter how influential you are today, on the day of judgment, one thing I want to leave you with is that all of them good deeds that you have performed, all of that wealth in the form of good deeds that you accumulated in this dunya, if as a result of you being unjust, if the result of you being oppressive, if the result of you being cruel, all of them good deeds may be taken away from you and passed to those people that you have been cruel to, that you've been oppressive to, that you've been unjust to. And on that day, you could be left penniless. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that we learn not to be cruel. We learn to look out for our fellow Muslim brothers. We learn to be kind and gentle with us and help each other in whichever possible way we can. Viewers of the channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we'll be back same time, same place, but with a different topic. But in the meantime, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine. And the sun will rise and shine.